everybody calm down. We're talking about Dave Simons, partner and managing director of One Private Wealth. A lot happening. Stocks dropping. Investors freaking out, or maybe not. We'll talk to Dave. Hello, Dave.
Hello, Chris. Hello, Amy.
Hello, Dave.
You know, I do have to interject one thing. You were talking about the Beach Boys. It reminded me, they kind of had a little bit of a resurrection in the late 80s. And I remember thinking at the time, I was probably in my late 20s, and I'm thinking, how sad is that? How old are they in the late 80s?
Yeah.
I mean, 35, 40 years ago. And here I am, just 2 weeks ago, I went to Champaign, Illinois to go see an REO Speedwagon concert with guys in their 70s.
ILL.
Yeah.
I love it. So, I love me some REO Speedwagon, like any good St. Louisan should. I heard they have like a one city tour, and it's just like the St. Louis area.
It was Champaign, Illinois. That was it.
That was it. That was their tour.
That was it. It was kind of a farewell last show. So I thought, longtime fan from the 70s, I got to go see it.
That's awesome. And to his and to Dave's point about the Beach Boys, I felt that way. I remember, like, in the 90s when they said the Rolling Stones, this is their farewell tour.
Yes.
They'll never tour again.
So I think last time we spoke, I think it was last week, when you said that the economy is doing remarkably well, considering, you know, all of this craziness and chaos that has happened.
Yeah.
But for investors, is it possible there's a bit of a bubble here? Or how should we look at it?
It's a fair question, Chris, because it's something that I've been looking at, started really over the weekend. And I wouldn't say it's a bubble, but, you know, it's gotten a little ahead of itself. And I'm a contrarian, which means when an opinion is the majority, and by a lot. So you have the mom and pop investors, your professional investors, all believing that the market is going to behave in a certain way. That makes me nervous. Or sometimes if everyone is really fearful, then I get a little excited and I go to the other side of the boat. So there is something called the CNN Fear and Greed Index. And on April 4th, one is extreme fear, like hide the women and children and put the cash under the mattress because this thing's crashing. That's one fear. And 100 is mortgage the house and go all in and buy every stock that you can. And so on April 4th, the fear and greed index was a 4. That historically is as low as I've ever seen that thing. And that's back when we first had Liberation Day and the markets were creating and all that. Okay, fast forward to July 4th, late last week. It was in the extreme greed category and it was approaching 80. I have never seen a 3-month swing like that dramatic. That could be a record. So it's incredible, this roller coaster ride that we're on, not just the market, but investor emotions have gone from despair to euphoria. I think it was overdone. The market went up and hit all-time highs. I'm not saying that we're going to crash, of course. I don't think this is a bubble, but I think it's time that we maybe cool our jets a little bit. And I could see maybe the market settling down here.
You know, Dave, it's funny because we know the market's like, it's fickle. It's volatile. It changes. And so don't panic, right? Like you said, like don't panic and like, oh, I got to buy or I got to sell. I sometimes picture you like sitting in a corner with like a cigar, sitting in some chair going, none of this matters. It doesn't matter. None of it matters. So my question is,
do I really speak French?
Are you ripping my Jacques Pepin
impersonation? It's a little Jacques Pepin.
Because that's how he makes food. He's like 4, 5, 10 minutes. It doesn't matter. I think it's great.
So with the market going up and down and everyone is, you know, like, don't do anything. What is a circumstance where you would do something? Because it feels like, in general, the wise thing is just to hold tight.
Well, it is, but we are all humans, and there's the twin evil emotions of fear and greed. And there have been all kinds of psychological studies that have shown fear is 2 to 1, a powerful emotion versus greed. Hmm. So it's almost like when the markets go up, that's an expectation. You expect that. It's like, well, why do you think I invest in the market? Of course, I'm supposed to make money. But when you lose and the market's going down, and then a lot of your doomsayers out there, the doom and gloom crowd that is trying to sell you something, their latest book or video or whatever, and they scare the living daylights out of you, that has a major impact on an investor's psyche, because for some reason, we think that that's never going to come back up. And Amy, here's what you have to get right. You can maybe pick near the top and say, holy cow, this market's gone way too high, way too fast. We're at record highs. I'm concerned. I'm going to pull out, or I'm going to take a big chunk and I'm going to the sidelines. And sure enough, the market starts to go down. You're like, whoa, I'm good. I timed it perfectly. But you're not done. You have to know when to get back in. And to successfully do this round trip investing cycle is next to impossible. And you can maybe get it once, right once, but to do it consistently, it cannot be done. So that's why the Warren Buffetts and all the great investors of all time, they don't try it either. They stick with good, solid companies. With that said, you can still change things, what I call on the margins. If you say, well, all this tariff stuff, a little concerned about that industry or this company, and I'm a little overweighted there. So you know what? I'm going to take a little off the table here, and I'm going to put it over here. But you should never really do drastic changes to your overall allocation, as long as your risk tolerance and your lifetime goals are the same.
So it seems like this is a bit of a playground for some people. Not everybody has the ability to just play around with money. There are a lot that do, however. If you're, let's say you don't have the means to just kind of, I'll move this thing here and move this here and go somewhere. Like, if you don't have that, if you're on the lower end of investing, how would you suggest somebody like that operate right now?
You know, another great question, because that is a big chunk of American society saying, well, it's nice that people who have the financial wherewithal, who can participate in the success of the financial markets, but I don't have that. And I totally get that. I understand that. However, there really is no such thing. When I got into this business more than 30 years ago, you couldn't just like invest $10 or $50. You had to go to a stockbroker who was going to charge you a huge amount of a commission. And you had to have at least probably a few thousand dollars to get started. There was no online or anything like that. Well, the democracy of investing now has really allowed everybody, even in small incremental amounts, to invest. You can open up an account, whether it's a Vanguard or a Fidelity or a Schwab or something like that, online, and pay almost nothing in commission and literally take $50 or $100. And I know that sounds silly. It's a small amount. It's not. Especially if you start young, and all these studies will show, you know, by the time you get in your 60s, it is possible to have hundreds and hundreds of thousands of dollars, if not seven figures, if you start early and start with something. And you will start to accumulate more money later in life. You'll get into your peak earning years and you'll put more money away. And last thing I'll say about this is something that I always remind people, especially younger investors. This is a back-end loaded game. You do not see these huge dollar amounts that start to grow. And by the time you're 32, go, whoa, I started with $10 and I have $940,000. Not sure how that started or even happened. Of course, that doesn't happen. It's just slow, 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 slow. You don't see it. You might get frustrated. And then all of a sudden, you're going to wake up one day and you're 50 some years old or you're 60 years old. I don't know how I did it. I never made a lot of money, but look how much I amassed because I played the long game. It does happen. I've seen it over and over in my career.
All right, Dave Simons, we appreciate you as always. Let's talk again on Tuesday of next week. What do you say?
I will be here, and you guys have a great rest of your week.
Dave Simons, partner and managing director at One Private Wealth, with us here on KMOX. He joins us at 10 o'clock every Tuesday.